The Bible's very realistic about saying this world is not the way God intended it to be. It is filled with evil and suffering and conflict. In fact, Satan is called the god of this world.
Exactly, and death is part of that. Unless we're alive at the time of the rapture, we're all going to die. Now, our hope is that Christ returns in our lifetime, and that's quite possible, probable even.
Suffering is part of life. What do we do when we face incredible trials and tribulations? How do we come through those with our faith intact? Hello, friends. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Today, we're going to tackle a very heavy subject. How do we deal with suffering? Let's jump right into our discussion on this important topic. Here's Sean and Bob. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, Bob, today's going to be a hard episode because you just received recently some pretty hard news.
Right. They found out that Sharon had an ovarian cyst, a rather large one, about 11 inches by 5 inches by 4 inches, around like the size of a football, about a 5-pound cyst. And they ran a whole series of blood tests. They did various scans and dyes and tests, and all of it came up benign.
Right. They said, as far as we can tell, no cancer.
Right. So before they started what was supposed to be a 3-hour surgery, the doctor and her team said that if we knew this was cancer, we would make a big incision and take the entire cyst out whole. But because of the fact that it's almost certainly benign, the percentage way to do this is to make some very small incisions, do this robotically, simply remove the cyst, and probably do a complete hysterectomy as well. So we approved that. Sharon went in for surgery, and what was supposed to take 3 hours took 9 hours.
Wow.
And it was very difficult because Sharon had never been in the hospital. She'd really never been sick. We've been married 42 years, and this was her first surgery. And everything went different than we expected.
Right. They came back with the news. Uh-oh. It turns out this is cancer.
Right. 4 or 5 times during the surgery, the doctors would come out to talk to me. One of them was to tell me we found cancer in the right ovary. What they did is they did some sort of a frozen section, looked under the microscope, and saw it was cancer. Then they also, as they were taking out this big cyst, it ruptured, and that spread. There was cancer all in the bag, the cyst, and that spread all through her abdominal cavity. So that wasn't great. Well, then, on top of that, when they were doing this, because the ovary sits so close to the ureter, which runs from the kidney to the bladder, they accidentally nicked the ureter. So now we had to have a urologist, he was actually the head of urology, come in and do a minor suture to fix that and also put a stent in. And then on top of that, we had to have a cancer doctor come in because she had to go in and look at the various lymph nodes. Now, the good news was they didn't find any cancer in the lymph nodes, no cancer spreading to any of her organs. So after a couple of days in the hospital, Sharon was able to go home, and she's done well so far.
I remember you telling me at the time that you just never think that this is going to happen to me.
I really didn't, and I come out of a family where we didn't handle stress real well. I came out of an alcoholic family, and you know, my parents would come apart with stress. I've not handled stress particularly well in our 42 years of marriage. Now, fortunately, we haven't had a lot of major stress, but this certainly was very difficult. But I can say that I've been surprised at how well I've held up, and I think it's because God has sustained me through this time, because it's been extremely difficult to go through all the uncertainties of this surgery. And now Sharon's already had one chemo treatment, and that was strange. 4 hours of them injecting poison into her veins. And fortunately, she's handled that pretty well, too, so far.
In fact, I think I've talked to her and seen her, and she's actually joyful, I think, almost.
Sharon is Sharon, and she's very, very bubbly and very enthusiastic, and even the cancer hasn't knocked her down. And in fact, she said before surgery, look, if this doesn't go well and I die, I'm happy to go be with the Lord. That is not something that bothered her at all, and she said that since the surgery. You know, she'd like to live another 10 or 15 years. She's 64, but the point is, for her, she's certainly happy to go be with the Lord.
Right. She's a believer. She has assurance of her salvation. And that in itself makes a huge difference, I think, when you're faced with, well, that kind of, you know that death is not the end of your story. It's the beginning of your eternal story.
If Sharon were an unbeliever and she was going through this, it would be devastating for me. If she were a believer, but she had lost her focus on Christ, that would be devastating for me. But it takes so much pressure off of me to hear her say, hey, look, I want to go see my mom and dad. I want to go see the Lord. That has been very important for me. It has helped me so much because we don't grieve as those who have no hope, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, that's talking about death, but the same thing is true when you're facing death. We have a different sort of grief.
The New Testament is very realistic about what is wrong with the world. The Bible's very realistic about saying this world is not the way God intended it to be. It is filled with evil and suffering and conflict. In fact, Satan is called the god of this world. So we're realistic about what we're going to face in life as Christians.
Exactly. And death is part of that experience. Unless we're alive at the time of the rapture, we're all going to die. Now, our hope is that Christ returns in our lifetime, and that's quite possible, probable even. But the fact is, we can't be sure. And so we need to live each day to the glory of God, to be well-pleasing to Jesus. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things which he has done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We'll be accountable to Jesus for what we've done with the time, the talent, the treasure he's given us. I look at this trial with Sharon going through cancer and chemo and surgeries, and it's an opportunity to glorify God in a difficult time. And so my perspective and Sharon's perspective isn't the same as someone who's not a believer in Christ.
Right. There's really two things that give a Christian, a believer, a different perspective on suffering. The assurance of where you're going to go when you die. The assurance that the moment you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you have that eternal life. It's not something you have to wait for and you're not sure you're going to get. Jesus says whoever believes has it. It's a present possession. That's one thing. But then God gives us even more revelation about what we can expect in the future if we endure suffering successfully. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8, and I just want to read verses 17 and 18, and here's what verse 17 says. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul knew about suffering, stoned, imprisoned, shipwrecked, adrift in the Mediterranean, on the verge of death more times than you and I have ever experienced. And he focused not on the suffering. He didn't deny the suffering. You know, he didn't pretend like it wasn't there. But his suffering took on a different light when he thought about the glory that lay ahead of him.
Yes, and what's interesting, when he talks about the glory which shall be revealed in us, he's not talking about the glory which will be revealed in all believers. He's talking about the glory in the joint heirs with Christ from verse 17. And joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him.
Being an heir with Christ, ruling with Christ in the kingdom. This is a special position of privilege given to overcoming believers. And not every believer is an overcomer. Believers who focus on Christ who stay the course, who live out their faith to the very end of their lives. It's entirely possible when you're faced with, well, the love of the world. We looked about what happened to Demas, who is a worker with the Apostle Paul. He started off well, but then he loved the world and he fell away.
Right.
So that's one way you can fall away. Another way you can fall away is if you're faced with the sufferings that come with being a Christian, and you fall away from the faith in that way and you cease being an overcomer in that sense. Paul is giving us an antidote to that. He's saying the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that overcomers will have with Christ.
Yes, I can give you, Sean, an example of something that happened in my small Plymouth Brethren church. Before I was there, there was a young man who was in the preaching rotation, which means he spoke once a month. And he was a Dallas Seminary graduate. He was very committed to the Lord, walking with Christ. Well, his wife became sick, and she got sicker and sicker over the course of multiple years. And he kept praying for her healing. And finally, she died. And when she died, he snapped. He got angry with God. He ultimately abandoned the faith, became an atheist. He didn't handle the sufferings in this present life. And that concerns me, because I know it's possible I might not handle these sufferings well. It seems to me the key is that we keep our focus on Christ and the glory that will be revealed.
We can never take our eyes off of Christ. You can look at your suffering and just think about your suffering and take your eyes off of the Lord. There's a whole book in the Bible that is about how to go through trials well so that you come out on the other side as mature, and that's the Epistle of James.
Yes.
We have a great commentary about James. It's written by Zane Hodges. It's probably, I believe, the best commentary on James that exists. You can go to our website, faithalone.org, and buy James, and I think that would be of a great help to you as you go through suffering and trial so that you aren't one of the people who fall away, but you're one of the people who please God in your suffering and come out on the other side even stronger for it.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that encouragement on how to glorify God in a difficult time. I think we've all grown from hearing those words. During the discussion, Dr. Bob Wilkin mentioned a commentary by Zane Hodges on the book of James. If you'd like to get a copy of that commentary, come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Our bookstore is packed with resources just like this one. Also, you might as well take advantage of some of our free resources that are available on the website, like our podcast, our blog post, and our free magazine. You can also learn about upcoming events, and you can even partner with us by giving a tax-deductible donation right there on the site, faithalone.org. Maybe you've got questions or comments that this episode has brought up for you. I hope that you'll email us, radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, it's Friday, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I will say that next week is packed with some pretty exciting stuff. We're going to do a mini-series on Romans 8 and even a question and answer program on salvation. So tune in on Monday to get started with another great week of Grace in Focus. Well, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.